الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له بيده الخير يحيي ويميت وهو على كل شيء قدير وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله وخاتم أنبيائه وخيرة خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم عليه اللهم صل عليه صلاة دائمة إلى يوم الدين وصل على آله وصحابته ومن والاهم واهتدى بهديهم واستنى بسنتهم ودعا بدعوتهم إلى يوم الدين اللهم اجعلنا منهم أما بعد عباد الله أوصيكم ونفسي أولا بتقوى الله يقول سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المجيد واتقوني يا أولي الألباب لعلكم تفلحون Brothers and sisters, before I proceed, I praise Almighty Allah, the creator, sustainer, and cherisher of the worlds. I praise him for all of his wonderful gifts and blessings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us to begin our days by counting his blessings and using them in order to come closer to him, so that when we are resurrected, we will gain our place in Jannatul Firdaus, to join the company of the prophets and the righteous and the martyrs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honor us with that companionship. In this month, Muslims are asked to remember the history of African Muslims, black Muslims, black in this continent. And it is our responsibility as Muslims to stand by the victims, to stand, resist oppression and persecution. There are some messages that are played out there. For instance, in the interfaith prayer gathering, one of our great imams in North America, the ex-president of Islam, he was called to participate in that interfaith prayer service. It was next day after President Trump was elected, and this was organized by the president. And he was called to say Adhan. The wise imam, the learned imam, chose two verses from the holy book. And it was a message delivered to the president, to Muslims, to the people of America. And I would urge every Muslim to stand up and project this message that the wise imam delivered at that time. The imam recited the verse from Surah Al-Hujurat. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم. The first verse is recited. Let me translate. O humankind, we have created you from a single male and female, Adam and Eve. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَخَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا. And we rendered you into tribes, nations and communities for you to recognize each other, to know one another. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Most certainly, the noblest of you in the sight of Allah is the one who is most conscious of Him. And Allah is well aware of what you do. And the second verse he recited, from Surah Ar-Rum. Beautiful verse. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِلْعَالِمِينَ. Among the signs of God in His creation, revealing His wisdom, is خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, the creation of the heavens and the earth, وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ, and the diversity, the differences in your tongues and your colors. Verily, in these are signs for people who are knowledgeable or wish to know, seek knowledge. This is the message you and I need to absorb, imbibe, and impart. Because we are in a critical phase in the history of North America and, of course, Europe. Racism, bigotry, Islamophobia, xenophobia is rampant. And there are people in this community, in Canada, in America, who are fed up. People of conscience. And we were moved by that outpouring of support and empathy and sympathy and solidarity shown by thousands of Canadians. Our Prime Minister Trudeau, he sat there 3.5 hours listening to the Quran in the speeches, and I saw tears in his eyes and in his wife's eyes and the eyes of many people. Of course, they should teach us like Trudeau and many thousands of others, and of course some of them Jews, and many of them created a ring of peace around the masajids in Canada. And you know, in Texas, where a mosque was burned down, the rabbi gave the key of the synagogue to the Muslims to pray. You offer your prayers here. Of course, this is the spirit of Islam. And this is the spirit of every single great religious tradition, that we need to project and we need to join in solidarity. On the other hand, there is this predatory identity projected by the white supremacists. The history of black people in America, the indigenous people. I read a quotation from a British traveler who described the attitude of white, the Christians, who claimed to be Christians, and they were considering these indigenous people as less than human. And he said they are the Christian white settler must get rid of them. Everyone, men, women, children. And they did that. The genocide, the history of genocide against the indigenous people in America. Indescribable. They even used, you know, Journey into America by Professor Akbar Ahmed. And he has another book, Journey into the Lands of Islam. And a third one is coming out, Journey into Europe. I would urge every Muslim, conscientious Muslim, should read these books. And I read in that stories you cannot even imagine how, when people consider others who do not share their faith or color as less than human, what would lead them, the atrocities they will perpetrate. Indescribable, brothers. And the same was the story of millions of Africans who were brought, many of them, all of them virtually kidnapped from Africa, from West Africa, kidnapped from the field, young people kidnapped and chained in the ship from top to bottom, chained. There were 12 million of them around, or even more. 2.5 million perished before they reached the destination. This is the story. When you treat fellow human being less than human, that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quranic message should be declared from the pulpit, from the classroom, from the podium. Ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind, we have created you from a single male and female. And this was the same message sounded by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the farewell sermon. According to Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu is the one who narrated the Prophet's pilgrimage in entirety. From the time he started from Medina until he finished the rites of pilgrimage. And Jabir ibn Abdullah says, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed the throng of humanity gathered in Hajj. Ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind, O mankind. He did not say, O Arabs. He did not say, O Muslims. He did not say, O Jews. He said, Ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind. Inna rabbakum wahid, your Lord is one. Inna abakum wahid, your father is one. La fadla li arabiyyin ala ajami. Let it be known clearly, once and for all, there is no superiority for an Arab over a non-Arab. Or for a non-Arab over an Arab. Or for a white person over a black person. Or black person over a white person. No superiority whatsoever. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Verily, the noblest of you in the sight of Allah is the one who is most conscious of Him. When this principle is violated, it's violated by people who claim to be Christians, who claim to be Muslims as well. This is what is practiced by the so-called ISIS or Daesh. They treat those who do not share their faith as less than human and worthy of being enslaved and raped and killed and mutilated. And the same was done in large numbers, genocide after genocide. Because when you treat the other person because he is of a different color, speaking different language, belong to different faith, and you treat him as the other. But Allah says, no. Ya ayyuhan nas, taqu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida. O mankind, be conscious of your Lord who created you all from a single soul. All of humanity from a single soul. Repeated throughout in the Quran, brothers and sisters. And therefore, we cannot say this is the crime of white Americans or white Canadians. We Muslims are free of it. Take a trip to the Muslim countries. You see discrimination rampant there. So we need to come back to the true religion of Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the true religion of Jesus, peace be upon him. You know some of the terrible, painful torments that the early Muslims, the African Muslims who were kidnapped from the fields. Many of them were more educated than their white master slave masters. We have so many stories how they tried to cling to their religion, but they were coerced to convert to Christianity. But many of them refused, and they preferred to be lynched, to be burned, to be killed, to be crucified, to be exterminated. There are stories of them. Many of them persisted and they continued. Dr. Akbar Ahmad says that he visited a 10th generation, a descendant of a 10th generation, you know, Muslim. She described, her name is Bailey. She described how her grandmother used to say that we were forced, we faced so much pressure to convert. So we did so. And we were Christians during the day and Muslims during the night. And Professor Akbar Ahmad asked Bailey, what's your relationship with Islam? Bailey said, Islam is my right hand. If you cut it out, you are cutting out my right hand. You see? And of course there is this so much documentation. Of course there are great works there. Servants of Allah. The history of African Muslims who were brought to America, North America. How they struggled. And of course I would mention one or two examples here. One of them was Ayyub Sulaiman. Actually, Ayyub Sulaiman. And they call him Job Solomon. He wrote his memoirs. Actually, he would write down the Quran. They were deprived. You know, he persisted, he remained as a slave. And he was a prince, he came from a ruling family, but kidnapped from the field. Finally, he managed to gain his freedom, and eventually he was allowed to live, because he belonged to an aristocratic family, and because of the recommendations, and this conduct from his family, he was allowed to go. And he was on his way back to his home. He was in London. And the royal family hosted him. And the painter wanted to paint him. So they told him, why don't you put on your Arab dress, your African dress? He said, but you people kidnapped me from the field. I didn't bring my suitcase with me. I was not allowed. I didn't. So he said, okay, then we prefer to paint you in your native dress. Said, I will describe it to you. You paint. So the painter said, how can I paint something which I never saw? Look at this intelligent scholar of Islam. He retorted, if that is the case, how do you dare to paint God Almighty, whom nobody have seen? You see, this is the Quranic concept. God is incomparable. God cannot be seen. لا تدرك الابصار وهو يدرك الابصار. You see how he had internalized the Tawheed. And he delivered that message there. Of course, and we have the case of so many of them. Another one is Yaro Mahmoud. He arrived in America at the age of 14, and he was known as the Maryland Muslim. Because of his integrity, he was distinguished in the community, because the character, the real character of Muslim. You know, many of the slave masters would appoint these Muslims as the leader of the group, of the other slaves, because they could be trusted. You see how Muslims, and they were recognized for their honesty, integrity, and truthfulness. And Yaro Mahmoud was knowledgeable in Arabic. He was a scholar of Arabic, scholar of Islam. And this man, always the dhikrullah on his tongue, he would walk through the streets of Maryland, always singing the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making dhikr. This is the kind of man. He lived, he was the oldest person in America. He lived more than 100 years, 134 years. So he is, there is a statue in his name. And of course, there is the story of others like Salih Bilali. His slave master required, even though he was persecuted throughout his life, in his deathbed, he was heard uttering the testimony of faith. And brothers, we have the story of Abu Bakr Siddiq. One of them is called Abu Bakr Siddiq. He wrote, look at the patience he had. You know, we suffered indescribable brutality at the hands of these people who call themselves Christians. Indescribable. But we persevered. We are Muslims. Our faith is Islam. It's Islam. We persevered because you know why? Because we believe nothing would befall us except what God has willed. We surrender to His will. We don't question. There is a wisdom in all this. So brothers, this is how, of course, they are great scholars, great leaders, great teachers, but they were denied opportunity. They had to, you know, textbook, they had to write down from their memory the manuals of jurisprudence. They made copies of the Quran from their memory. And they tried to pass on whatever they had no books whatsoever, no educational resources whatsoever, but they did try pass on. But of course, and therefore now, Islam is being resurrected among the African Americans, and because these African American Muslims, they know the history of America, and they are better suited to lead the new face of Islam more than anybody else. Let the indigenous people, whether they come from white background or black background, we have the beautiful story of Russell Webb. Of course, we have today so many white people from white background who have embraced Islam. And of course, we have the story of a number of them. There is the story of Isa. There is a person is called Isa. After the 9/11 incident, he became so hostile to Islam and Muslims, he was determined to fight against Muslims, to join the army. But before doing so, he said, let me know, try to know the enemy. And he went to the masjid. Of course, he had a gun with him. Because if needed, he will use it, he said. And of course, once in the masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened his heart. He came back embracing Islam. And then he served as the president of MSA. He's studying for medicine. I don't know whether he must have finished it. And he was the president of Muslim Student Association. And of course, we have another sister who said she embraced Islam after hearing the hate rhetoric of Trump. That led her to study Islam. There are stories, many stories like that. So the lesson you and I must learn is, are we open to embrace humanity as one? Innal ibada kullahum ikhwa. I testify, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ashhadu, I testify that all of humanity is single brotherhood. This is the lesson of Hajj. When Malcolm X went to Hajj, he was a black nationalist. He claimed that blacks were superior to whites. As opposed to what the white supremacists believe, that they are superior, they are entitled. God has given them this entitlement to rule other nations. They have superior brain. So others must slave them, slave for them. If they don't slave, they should be exterminated. They should be finished off. This is their slogan. And of course, Malcolm X, the opposite, he reacted. Said there is no way that we can make peace with the whites. But once he went to Hajj, immersed himself in the Islamic Brotherhood experience, equality, egalitarianism, and that sense of brotherhood, true brotherhood, he changed. He said, no, America needs to know Islam. This is the only message that can unite America. Of course, that is the message of Jesus, peace be upon him. That's the message of Musa alayhi salam. That's the message of every single prophet. Every single religious tradition has this message at the core of it. But human beings, in spite of the teachings of religion, teaching of religion is, what's the first teaching of religion, Islam? Knowledge. The first teaching is knowledge, acquire knowledge. And then secondly, compassion. All the Meccan surahs talking about compassion, brothers. Feeding the poor, taking care of the vulnerable and the weak. So you and I, and of course, treating everybody, the other, as you would like to be treated. Min nafsin wahida. Because if I mistreat you, I'm mistreating myself. If I abuse you, I'm abusing myself. Because you and I belong to the same essence. Let this message be propagated from the pulpits of the masjid, and let it be practiced, so that though we don't discriminate, but the irony is, as Professor Ali Mazrui said, Islam, unlike the other places of worship, the masjid, there is perfect democracy in operation. But once you step outside the masjid, the Muslims don't practice this message. And we need to take this message from the masjid into the society, into the community, so that everybody treated with the same respect. I need to, the way, وَجَعَلْنَا بَعَضَكُمْ لِبَعَضٍ فِتْنَةً أَتَصْبِرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we made each other a test for you. So I am a test for you. You are a test for me. What does it mean? The way you treat me is the way Allah is going to treat you. And the way I treat you is the way Allah is going to treat me. So do we have that patience to treat each other the way we need to treat? And compassion. Irhamu turhamu. Show mercy. So this soldier who went to Iraq and raped that 14-year-old and killed the entire family, he is in court in the state and said, I did not consider Iraqis as human beings. This is why I did this. Because he's brainwashed. It's my duty, your duty, to take out this ignorance. People are ignorant. People are narrow-minded. And it is my duty and your duty to spread the knowledge. And we have to join with the people of conscience in every religion. Don't stereotype Christians because all Christians are doing that. Don't stereotype Jews because of the Zionists, what they do in Israel. There are Jews against the Zionist agenda. And don't confuse Hindus with what the BJP and RSS is doing in the name of Hinduism. Because there are many good Hindus. So don't stereotype. Don't stereotype the every Western people. Muslims do. The West is this. West is this. And the Western people say East is this. East is this. The stereotyping. We have to be fair in judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us to come back to the compassionate message of Islam, to recognize the oneness of humanity, oneness of God, and oneness of human brotherhood. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. الحمد لله الذي هدانا إلى دين الإسلام وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات ربنا لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا ميتا إلا رحمته ولا حاجة ترضيك إلا قضيتها يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم رب المستضعفين انصر المستضعفين اللهم انصرهم في برك وبحرك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم كن لهم عونا وناصرا اللهم كن لهم عونا وناصرا ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب أقم الصلاة